Okay, our next presenter is Audrey Mitchell. She received her bachelor's in community health education from the University of Arizona and her master's in epidemiology from Emory University. As a public health advisor to CDC, she worked with the Environmental Health Policy Office, CDC's International Emerging Infection Program in Beijing, the WHO Stop Transmission of Polio mission to the Philippines, and the President's Malaria Initiative. She's currently the Unexplained Deaths Epidemiologist for Arizona Department of Health Services. And she'll be speaking on risk factors associated with missed hepatitis B vaccine birth dose in Arizona in 2009.
And for those of you who are looking at the program and wondering why there isn't a tall, dark, and handsome Latino man in front of you, unfortunately, Omar could not make it today. And so I'm honored to speak on his behalf, as I am honored to speak on behalf of all my colleagues at Arizona Department of Health Services. So good morning, and thank you for attending this session. I will be speaking on our study, Risk Factors Associated with Missed Hepatitis B Vaccine Birth Dose, which evaluates, as the title suggests, maternal and child health risk factors that predicted whether a child missed the Hep B birth dose in Arizona in 2009. And I have no personal financial relationships to disclose. So first I'm going to begin by presenting a brief background, followed by the methods of our study, and of course the results, descriptive statistics, as well as the results from our bivariate and multivariate analyses. And then finally we'll discuss our conclusions, including the limitations of the study, and our recommendations. So first, the background. In 2005, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention revised the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices recommendations, and these revisions included recommendations to administer Hep B virus vaccine to all newborns before hospital discharge. They also recommended appropriate immunoprophylaxis be provided to infants born to hepatitis B surface antigen positive mothers within 12 hours of birth, and to infants born to mothers with unknown hepatitis B surface antigen status before hospital discharge. These data from the CDC National Immunization Survey and the Arizona Immunization Program Office show that Arizona's hepatitis B birth dose coverage rates are above the national average in both 2010 and 2011. However, Arizona falls behind the rest of the nation in completion of the three-dose series. So closing the gap for that final 20% or so of children that are missing that birth dose is really going to require targeted education. Which brings us to the objective of our study: to determine the factors that contributed to whether or not a child in Arizona received the hepatitis B birth dose. So we set out to evaluate the maternal and child health risk factors that predicted missing this crucial birth dose of vaccine. And for our study, we defined missed as not receiving the birth dose within 3 days of birth. And next, our methods. To obtain data for this analysis, we merged data from the Arizona State Immunization Information System, or ACIS, which is our state immunization registry, with data from the Office of Vital Records birth database. Using SAS, we then randomly selected 500 children who were born in the state of Arizona in 2009, 250 children who received the hepatitis B virus vaccine birth dose, and 250 children who missed the birth dose. We requested medical records for both the children and their mothers. And of the 500 children that we originally selected, we were able to abstract information from 461 sets of charts. And again, a set being both the child and its mother. We abstracted key clinical and demographic indicators, including insurance type, birth weight, gestational age, ethnicity of the mother, number of prenatal care visits, et cetera. And this information was then entered into a Microsoft Access database, which we used to pull data for the analysis. So the 461 children were assigned to one of two groups. And it's important to note that during data cleaning, we discovered that many children had been categorized incorrectly, so we're not really getting the even split that we had expected during sampling. So that's why they're not going to be distributed evenly between the two groups. We had 315 children selected that received the birth dose within 3 days of birth, and 146 children who did not receive the birth dose within 14 days of birth. Our data analysis included descriptive statistics, as well as a bivariate analysis using unadjusted Mantel-Hansel odds ratios, and a multivariate analysis using adjusted Wald odds ratios. And now on to the results. So first, our descriptive statistics. Give you an idea of our sample. As you can see here, we have a nice distribution of the mother's ages, with the majority falling between 20 to 34 years of age, as expected. There were no mothers under the age of 15, and we had only one mother over the age of 45. And here is the breakdown of our sample by race of the mother. This is a slightly more diverse sample than Arizona as a whole, believe it or not. And our sample was 81% white compared to 89% from the 2005 census. And again, important to note that hospitals are still in the process of rolling out collection of ethnicity data, and there's a little bit of a learning curve with that, so we weren't able to break down white by Hispanic and non-Hispanic ethnicity. Mothers in our sample were 6% African American compared to 4% from the census data, 5% Asian as compared to 3%, 8% American Indian Alaska Native compared to 6% from the census data, and finally 1% Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander as compared to less than a third of a percent from the census data from 2005. Since education level has been found to influence a mother's decision, as you all know, to vaccinate her children, we examined the highest education level completed by the mother. 47% had a high school education or less, while 53% of all mothers in our sample had at least some college, be it college graduate or just some college or postgrad or professional school. And here we see the mother's insurance type. This ended up being a very important risk factor in our analysis, so I want to point out this breakdown here. Approximately half of the mothers carried private insurance. This is your Blue Cross Blue Shield, Aetna, and the other half carried insurance of another type. This could be Indian Health Service insurance, Medicaid, or Access, which is the Arizona Healthcare Cost Containment System, which is our state Medicaid agency. And we have two people in the sample that had no insurance. Now on to the results of the bivariate analysis. To conduct the Pearson's chi-squared and Fisher's exact test, we created dichotomous variables. So for example, the variable white in this table represents a test of whether missing the hepatitis B birth dose vaccine birth dose differed between whites and non-whites. So as you can see here, white race, American Indian Alaska Native race, and having private insurance were significant in the bivariate analysis. As was having some high school education, being a college graduate, having a plural birth, and using tobacco. And all variables related to complications during labor. This included complications that were not described, but just marked on the abstraction form as labor complications, as well as preterm delivery, before 37 weeks, a hospital stay longer than 10 days, newborn admitted to the ICU, low birth weight, which we defined as less than 5 pounds, 8 ounces, and a 5-minute Apgar score of less than 7. Any variable that was significant in the bivariate analysis was included in the logistic regression model to control for potential confounding and allow for tighter confidence intervals and more valid point estimates than the bivariate. So now onto those results. Using backwards hierarchical elimination, we determined the final logistic regression model, which included the predictor's race, insurance type, and complications of labor delivery. It's important to note that out of all the factors that were significant in the bivariate analysis, the only factors that stayed in the final model were these two in bold, and we included race in the final model because it yielded more valid point estimates, and we really wanted to have more valid results, even if it meant to sacrifice precision. So each predictor was dichotomous, as described earlier. Race was defined as white or non-white, insurance was private or not private, and complications of labor delivery was defined as no complications listed in the chart, or one or more of the following: low birth weight, low Apgar score, preterm delivery, abnormal conditions of the newborn, complications during labor, plural births, or the newborn admitted to the ICU. So in conclusion, these results show that children born to mothers with private insurance were approximately twice as likely, with an odds ratio of 1.8, to miss the hepatitis B virus birth dose than those children born to mothers with insurance of another type. And again, this was controlling for the mother's race. In addition, children born to mothers who experienced complications during labor or delivery were more than twice as likely, with an odds ratio of 2.3, to miss the hepatitis B vaccine birth dose when compared to children born to mothers who experienced no complications, again, adjusting for the race of the mother. There were, of course, limitations to this study, the usual that come with using cross-sectional data. In addition, we had limited information on the decision-making process. So we don't know how or why the decision was made to administer the birth dose of Hep B vaccine, and due to a lack of resources, we were unfortunately unable to go back and interview the healthcare providers and ask them why to obtain this information. Also, when a refusal was noted in the chart, there was little to no documentation as why. If it was documented at all, usually it was just refusal scribbled across the pre-printed admission orders. So we really have no additional information as to who refused and why, which is unfortunate. We also had poor matching with ACEs, which is the state immunization registry. So we had children that were either missing from ACEs altogether and were only found in the Office of Vital Record Statistics, or we had children that had multiple entries within ACEs, which meant that we weren't able to verify the child's immunization records using the state registry. So, since our study found that children born to mothers with private insurance and who had complications during labor or delivery were slightly less likely to receive the hepatitis B birth dose, we recommend that educational messages be targeted to those with private insurance, especially women of childbearing age, as well as healthcare providers who are likely to treat complicated labors and deliveries. And of course, both populations should be educated about the importance of completing that hepatitis B virus vaccine series after that initial birth dose. So there are many people to thank. All of the individuals who contributed to this project are listed on this slide, so many thanks to all of them. And if you have any questions, of course, I'm more than happy to take them at the end of the session, but if you'd like to email me, that's my email address is up there, or you can contact Clarice Tang, who's our acting program manager for OIS. Thank you so much.